honorable members, unlike me, to get in the committee for the first time in my life. I'm very sorry, traffic is horrible. Let me, I'll use my rally voice. I don't know this room that is booked without my, those who are recording, I don't know what are they going to do, because it's very important to record meeting of this nature. Let me take this opportunity to greet everyone, our members of this committee. I started with the minister and the entourage of the department, our staff, compliments of the year, hoping that we'll start in a very, very serious note, but to respect each other. Before we start anything, can we stand up and rise for our legend, Ubabu Shabalala, whom are going to bury him this Saturday? A moment of silence. May his soul rest in peace. Amen. Honorable members, we have an agenda in front of us. We don't have ample time. We must utilize our time constructively, because we need to interact with both bills. I'm putting this agenda in front of the members. Anyone who can adopt this agenda or put any other thing thinking that supposed to be in the agenda, but consider the time. If we're going to have a briefing of two bills, we need all our time. So I'm suspecting that the consideration of our first term committee program will have our own time, in order that we must set in whatever we are thinking that the chairperson and the staff propose the program. If it's not here, let's just take that time after the deliberation of the point three. I'm raising that in order that you must not think that you must put anything in the agenda if you feel like. Let's reserve that for the point five in the agenda. I'm putting the agenda. Dr. Knox.
Thanks, Chairperson. Greetings to all Minister and CM. I propose that we adopt the agenda as proposed.
Can you do any second? Yes, Honorable Member. Thank you, Honorable Member. DM, the way that I'm late, I didn't even see you in a red dress, very bright. My apology, my DM. My apology. And acting DG, my apology, DG. Here we are. Honorable Zermin, any apologies?
Just Honorable Veronica van Dijk, she's still healing after operation, and Honorable Tsepo is 5 minutes away.
Okay. I've seen that I'll never be not in the meeting before 8:30. I'll take the apologies, because the traffic, we're supposed to take 7 o'clock bus if we were aware. I'm taking that apology. But usually I'm very skeptical that we are late in the meeting whilst the department is sleeping over, and now we'll be rushing them. Honorable Knox?
Thanks, Chair. Apologies for Honorable Mama Bolo and Mugabane. They are still in another meeting, but they will be joining us shortly.
Apology accepted. Honorable members, this is a new term in this, what do you call, in this sixth parliament. We couldn't put all the priority bills. I'm suspecting others will be asking about the issue of another bill which is not in our agenda today. I'm suspecting that we put in the next agenda. You know that whilst we were away, there was a bill which was an issue which was issued before it tabled in the committee. I'm asking honorable members that time of asking what happened, let's reserve it. Let me just upfront saying that you apologize. That SASRIA bill was not yet presented to the committee, and I was having a letter from one of the honorable members. But honorable members, for the sake of time, that let's accommodate these two bills. When time comes on what happened, we'll make the department to account to us. Because any bill must start here. We can't see the bill whilst we are on recess on papers. But I'm pleading, because you have got a right to ask why it happened with this limited time today. Let's just focus in those two bills. But I must tell you that when time comes, we'll ask the department what happened. And I'm pleading even to the department that today you must not account about that, because you know that you were supposed, the first thing that you must account what happened, because I was written letters and this thing was cheap and changing something that we don't know as a committee. And I responded once we were away that as this committee was still waiting for department to come and present that bill. With due respect, I'm asking that let's focus on this agenda of today. To you, Minister.
No, thanks, Chair. And compliments to members for those who are here with us for the first time. Maybe just to start with the Chair, I think we actually it's three, for the prepared for three. And the two, one has to do with the library, the South African Public Library and Information Services, which I think we'll be able to quickly run through, because it is about the accessibility of knowledge and information through libraries to our communities, which we've been rolling out all communities, especially the villages and the rural areas and townships and so on. But also going forward, we do have challenge when it comes to finances. So it's one bill which will be delayed in the process. The DG will be able to push it on that. And the second one has to do with the white paper. Basically, to say to the committee that the white paper will terminate on the lap of the committee. Other administration, this administration, and even this committee was presented. We seek concurrence of the committee, because white papers are in their nature the basic policy document from which you are able to make legislation, as it were. So we can't move, we can't do anything before getting that acknowledgement. So we need acknowledgement before we move forward. Where I would suggest suggest, Chair, we spend some time on is on the National Sports and Recreation Amendment B of 2011, rather than postponing to say that it's a very important bill. It's an important bill. I had also people raising issues around the time, which I may immediately acknowledge that perhaps it was not the best of times to release it and so on. But it's a bill which just sat before the committee, just sat before Parliament. It went up throughout the process, started in Cabinet and everything else, got a go-ahead to come to Parliament and came to Parliament. The fee administration there with the bill, the department presented, led by the minister and so on. So it was there. Actually, one of the critical areas which the committee said should be done is that even before proceeding to pass the bill, the department must go back and further consult with the provinces, because it's Section 76 B. So from the department, what was left is to ensure that it covers that, gets it to the public there. But instead of just going to NCOP, the department decided to reopen it again, or reopen it for the entire public to have a second bite, even those which the committee didn't see any issue. Fundamentally, the bill is about how we resolve some disputes. I remember when one of our meetings and our the question and answer, the Honorable Ndumane Mbebe asking me in Parliament, when are you going to resolve this FNB accident where two people died and so on and so forth. And I can see that it's a very important question. It's an important question because whenever things happen, the department would run to the president for the Judicial Commission. Problem about that. The essence of the commission's inquiry is that there is not your everyday commission. It shouldn't be there every time. It has to come as an interventionist approach on a rare occasion. And it's not easy for the commission, the Judicial Commission of Inquiry, to be instituted by the president. But I was thinking as you were asking questions, I remember I responded to him, but when I went home I was thinking, so in this environment we are, you have people going to stadia and there are accidents which happened in the past, and there is no guarantee that they will happen in the future, and many of them are going to rush into the president for the Judicial Commission of Inquiry all the time. To me, it didn't make sense, and the amendment is trying to respond to that question as well, to say that it doesn't really mean, we do not really need to have a Judicial Commission of Inquiry every time sometimes you have a Ministerial Committee of Inquiry, which would deal with the very same issues, an independent body which would be able to do that. But the second portion of this deals with the tribunal, arbitration tribunal. And the tribunal in the main here has to do with a lot of, there are disputes, inter-federation, intra-federation, including the confederation. Some of them have not been resolved from long ago. So again, we needed a mechanism to ensure that we deal with this, to find a way of dealing with this. There is also an issue about the empowerment of the minister to, beyond the regulation, because regulation should not be substantial in nature. Procedural, administrative, and so on. So, there is an issue with the fitness body.
Just a moment, my honorable minister.
Yes.
I'm saying we are talking more about South Korea deal, which I was apologizing that it's not part of the agenda today. I don't know about the National Sport Amendment Bill. There's nothing it's talking about first year when we're reading this document. I want to be given an understanding. That's why I apologized, and I was asking even yesterday to the content advice, what is it that you are talking about today? So I'm saying that I'm contradicting your good self when I'm saying that they must not ask about what happened December about Sasria Bill, because we waited that it must be tabled. But I wanted to be given a clarity, what are we doing today? Because our minister is getting on what I was thinking, that it's really the day of that we must talk about what he is talking about.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Madam Chair, the Minister is speaking about the sports amendment bill. It's different from the Shakhtaria, and what the Minister is talking about is about issues in the main bill that speaks to committees of inquiry, etc. And the Minister talks about the FNB story. Yes, there is a factory issue with it, but what the Minister is talking about, mechanism to deal with those things. The Minister is talking about structure and governing structure to deal with issues that come, and that is contained in the main
legislation
amendment.
Okay, I do understand, Minister. No, the my main worry is that I was thinking that we are doing about the background of Australia, but I was worried that it's not part. But this clarification does help me, because I was worried, because we want a very debate on Safia Bill. But I do understand now. I was worried that what is going on, but you were doing just the background of the bill.
Yes. In fact, as I introduced the chair, was that the two bills really are not going to take much of our time. The which is mainly reporting the process, and the white paper reporting the process, and the one which we thought the National Sports Association Amendment, we thought that we can entertain. So, but as the legislature, that's the process which is going on, and until the 28th, the end of next week, the end of this, what you call the month, February, where in terms of public input, would be coming to an end, where, as I said, that it was deliberately extended again to the public. It wasn't, we sought to correct what the committee said we must correct by going overboard and not saying no, but we've already consulted let other people not consult. Even those who have made input, it has been an open process for so that, That's what I would suggest, Chair. May we approach the matter, and then from there, then we get the guidance from you, especially on the white paper. If perhaps since the department has, if there are issues, we would like to be faced with that, and if not, we would like to see the committee acknowledging that as well, so that we are able to move and ensure that we do whatever we can to transform the cultural and creative.
Thank you, Honourable Minister. With the part of white paper, I'm suspecting as I was scheduling this meeting that I've asked the legal part of in the Parliament that they must be part of this meeting. I was trying to check. I've seen Advocate Mpumi Ngema. I didn't see that she is present, because I was saying that when we're dealing with this bill, they must be present. I don't know other political people who are here, but of Parliament, Advocate Mpumi Ngema is here. Any other legal people, never mind about of each department, because they're supposed to be here, but because of so many things that are happening, the letters to me, I was advising the staff that advocating for me, we must be part of our meeting. Thank you, Minister. So we are in safe hands, both in the department and in Parliament. Any intake, DG, of presenting the bill?
Honorable Chair and the Minister Pierre and the Honorable Minister as well, guided by the introduction that the Minister has done. We have two presentations, and it will not be long, but one is the Library Information Service, and then the other one is the White
Paper. Can I ask my staff, why are we in this room without a recording? Who's recording?
I call PMG.
PMG, you call?
No.
Okay. Honorable Song. Honorable Song.
Thank you, Chair. I apologize again. Chair, on item one from the statement, and the Minister gave us an overview of the candidacy overview. Can I comment when you get the presentation? I wanted to find out, the Minister just left it, and that is the crux of the matter. I think you came when you were explaining the empowerment of the Minister. Maybe if I can just give the Minister an opportunity just to reflect and see that guidance, which is to us, it's like you are nationalizing sports. Now, let's hear exactly what is his take, and then we'll take a discussion on that, because that was the main thrust of the issue, really, personally. Now, you stop the Minister, because I have to explain at that part, the empowerment of the Minister. Can I get a feedback exactly on that, and then I'll have other questions.
Chairperson, and I think, as the Minister gave his input, also from my side, you know, just right at the end of the term last year, we just had a briefing, there were some discussions held, and then all of a sudden the bill just popped up, and we read in the newspapers about this. We've got a hell of a lot of public outcry on this. It's like, you know, a bill wants to be pushed through the recess area, time period almost, and when you really go and read into the bill, and you go and read all the public input, it makes sense that there has to be much more time to really look and relook at this bill. I know you've now extended it for a while, but what worries me is that this bill already lapsed in the previous term. And now I want to know, is it being introduced by the Minister to Parliament, or is it, instead of just reintroduced, is it almost like the word that I'm looking for. Sorry, I'm just defending myself in English, as you know. Are you just bringing, are you, is coming back to Parliament to be reintroduced, or is the Minister reintroducing it to Parliament? Because usually after it lapsed, I know there was an issue that Parliament doesn't always know how to reintroduce it.
After it lapses, so
Chairperson, this is my question. If it's been reintroduced, is the Minister now reintroducing a brand new bill, and when reintroducing a brand new bill? Then surely I want to know what the differences are, and because there were obviously problems in the first term. I was not on your committee, with due respect, Chairperson, so I don't know if it was exactly the same. But the matters of concern to me is very clearly that the Minister is going to have certain powers all of a sudden, which is, as my colleague is saying, almost nationalising it, deciding on almost everything, on sport colours, on who can come and tour in the country, who can do what, even taking away the powers of SASCOP in deciding almost on who's having national colours, etc. So I think what my colleague is saying is, we need to hear more from the Minister now on this bill to us. Thanks.
Honourable Members, we can't start our day by asking questions of the presenting of the overview of the Minister. Can you hold that we must have a presentation? And this is not the first time that the Minister must open and put the overview. And then through a presentation of the bill, we can do what we are doing today. It's not like that. Reserve, we have noted your questions. This is not the time for questions. It's the time of the presentation of the bill. Let me guide the committee. Let's do that. Thank you. Who's going to present the bill?
The bill I'm presenting is the public library and information services.
Point of order, Chair. You see, that is the point of order. The Minister cannot give us an overview on the amendment, and we're going to a presentation on the library. Now, what I'm trying to say, and usually, Chair, you give us an opportunity to check his overview, and then we'll discuss it in the overview. Now, I was asking that can the Minister, I'm not saying the presentation of library is very important. Based on what the Minister thinks, especially on the amendment bill, can we give us this empowerment of the Minister's responsibility and then we get it? And then we'll start. That is my plea, because the Minister was clear on that. Now, that is, I'm not saying, but because when you go to library, it's another issue is over.
Honourable Mshong, the only thing that I know according to agenda, we didn't change our agenda. I'm going according to agenda. Minister pleaded that can't we start with what we are saying. The only thing that I can allow is that maybe let's not start as the Minister was saying. Let's not start with the other bill. Let's start with this bill. So we can't start by asking questions. I'm still maintaining, first and foremost, we must be presented by the bill, and then the questions will be followed, and no one can not want you to ask the question. The only thing that if members of committee, are you allowing that we must not start with what is in the agenda? The agenda was adopted, and then now it's asked culture and on pending legislation, and then the Minister asked us that we must not start with the arts bill, let's start with the sport. So the only thing that DG we can ask is that you must start with what the Honourable Member is their feeling, but let me hear from other members. Honourable Knox.
Thank you, Chair. I was saying the Minister was going, was giving an overview of the whole item. When we came here, we thought we were going to discuss two bills, but the Minister added that is library also. Then he said he doesn't think we're going to spend a lot of time on libraries and
the white paper.
But we need to spend a lot of time on the amendment bill.
Mm.
Therefore the question is that because the two are not going to spend a lot of time, if we can just deal with them first, so that we dedicate a lot of time on the amendment bill. That is what the minister was requesting.
Yes, thank you very much. The content of our presentation just indicates why we are presenting this and who the book in the South. Minister is summarized in fact in terms of what we call beginning with an ending but it's just to make sure that the honourable members have a sense of the content of the bill, that's why I would like to speak to you. Just to indicate that on the bill related to the South African public library and information services, that we will just indicate the requirements and status of the South African public library and information services bill, and then we will move to the issue of the white paper. Honourable Chair, the object of this question in the summary was really access to we talking about active citizenry that can only be active if it's an enforced citizen. And that citizen that they need access to the biggest platform available other than what we have now in terms of telephone. So the bill then seeks to provide measures to deal with the inequality of how this has been skewed in terms of provision of the services. But also the scope of the bill covers the public library and information services that are established, funded and maintained by government or municipalities. Secondly, that then the delivery of library and information service to communities is increasingly becoming a matter of concern at national, provincial, as well as local government due to agency policy matters. Here we will explain what are these issues among the policy matters and the responsibilities that are associated with the responsibilities of the chief of government. But also that there has been an issue around the access based on the infrastructure. But also Schedule 5, Part A of the Constitution, the funding and delivery of the public library services is in fact an exclusive provincial legislative competence. So what we are doing currently is an intervention to make sure that libraries are built and that the infrastructure is built. And we are doing that through the grant system. So, services then is an exclusive provincial legislative competence. Currently, only three of the provinces have the legislation in place that covers the provision of library and information services out of the nine. The department then, of Sport, Arts and Culture, drafted the library and information service bill established implementation and conducted what we call socio-economic impact assessment. Because cabinet made that decision that for every deal we must understand its implications, and that is why we have this process before you can be able to present to all that the question is did you do the socio-economic impact assessment. Then the bill requires that the Minister of Products and Culture to issue national norms and standards for the provision of library and information services. Now that is where you will realize, Chair, why the said Minister started with beginning with the end in mind, because of the issue of norms and standards.
and implications. Section 44, subsection 4 of the Constitution also then empowers the National Assembly in relation to intervention by passing legislation in accordance with Section 76, Section 1, with regard to the matter of legislation. So, what are the principles that are basically informing what this parliamentary institution in the country? Firstly, that services encourage a culture of reading and therefore then create a national grid. Literacy is one of the key issues that this country is trying to make sure that we can level of interest. But also that services are provided on the basis of equal access. And I think I don't have to go into detail for that, but we all know the skewed special distribution of microarray services, which then deprive the rural areas, and particularly also the areas such as the township. Then the services are also must be provided in a manner that facilitates, promotes, and develops information literacy, digital development, electronic communication, signal reporting, library using. But services also are promoting awareness about national identity, cultural heritage, appreciation of the arts, scientific achievement, innovation, and intercultural dialogue and cultural diversity. But implementation of this comes with the norms that have financial implications for both provinces and municipalities. So the bill then have these financial implications that will outline towards the part of the present. So we then looked at what can be done to implement this. So the implementation plan is targeting a 10-year rollout. And to say over 10 years, which prioritizes then the resourcing as well as the meeting the redress needs of the different areas that would have been identified as ideas in terms of the socioeconomic situation. The department also has earmarked the current decline allocation for the community library conditional grant. Currently, we are operating on the basis of conditional grant, which then cover certain areas that the library cannot be, that money cannot be used for anything else but just for that. But it's a grant system. Now the grant system does not create changes around the provision of resources on a continuous basis, which is one of the challenges. Because the grant can end any time. We will display that when we talk about human resources. The provinces can, we cannot say we have terminated doing it in the library that we are having. So if you are appointed to depend, then it means you must incorporate it in their compensation of employees normally. But with the grant, we don't know whether it's going to end tomorrow or it's going to stay. And we have engaged national treasury on that issue. So in accordance then with Schedule 5 of the Constitution, provinces will also carry the financial burden of implementing this bill. The department then has a response to monitor the implementation of the bill. The organizational and personal limitations captured in Nigeria that the implementation of the bill require the expansion of the library infrastructure and personnel, thus contributing to job creation. And as we speak now, I think we're for more than 3,000 based on this interpretation. Because if you look at least a minimum of 3,000 to 3,000, you will require them to have those things set. And that is how this program has today contributed immensely in terms of job creation. Provincial departments of agriculture and municipalities then will have to develop a human resource strategy to ensure sufficient qualified staff is employed to manage life. Financial implications. Financial implications in terms of the socio-economic assessment of 2017, the recommended was that we do this in a phase-in approach of the bill to reduce the burden on government and to assist in the budget of the government will work in terms of the projected funding in TSA as well as the and all plans that we develop. But the honourable members and the chair to just know that that 10-year plan then based on the project, the cost implications were that the bill will cost about 18.5 billion rand. This is standard implementation approach where 10% of the cost will be expended in the initial 2 years. And that then it gives us a breakdown of how we get to the 18.5 billion. And then 20% is used in year 2 to 4, which will amount to about 3.7 billion. And then 40% is used in years 4 to 6, which will amount to 7.4 billion. And then 20% in years 6 to 8 is 3.7. And then in the last 2 years, we wrote at 10%, which translates to 1.8. So the current medium-term expenditure plan is working on 2021 and 2022 to 2023. Allocation of the current is at 4.3%. Department, and there was a broader consultation that was conducted with various departments, and we, among them were the provincial departments of arts and culture, the heads of provincial library and information services, the national and provincial and local government association, the National Council for the Library and Information Services, and the Library and Information Services Center for Ottawa. All stakeholders will come to the meeting and they endorse the impact then of the production indicated. The bill was then presented to Cabinet in October 2019, of which then it was successfully approved. And after that, also consultations were done at national and international trade fair. For the way forward out of this consultation, the bill would let us say that because this bill has got direct on financial situation of provincial and local government, and looking at the financial situation in the country and the cost of 18.5 billion, it was advised that once you pass the bill, you are then obliged to implement. Once you implement those norms and standards, you have to fund them. If you fund them, you have to help them. And therefore, the advice was that we have to re-engage with the national, the financial power of provincial and local government, and look at how they can best fund them before we can introduce and have a part for implementation. We know what is that the past around and attempt to rush and meet those norms and standards. And also find that if you come into media, you are then taken to law, you open yourself up for all the sorts of legal implications we have to attend. And that was the answer. And I adhere to that. And that is why then at this stage it was mandatory for me to know the financial implication and the claim of the bill. And that is the stage where you will then go on and engage in the consultation. What is the good which we can emphasize is that, however, this does not take away what we are doing every year to build new libraries and to resource those libraries. So that does not impact on the issue of services to the citizens of the country. So that is the statement.
Thank you, honourable members. I'm suspecting honourable members now they do understand why the minister was talking about already the way forward, which is in this bill that really would love to engage with your department, because the recommendation by the treasurer is saying that we must delay this bill because of what they've already is saying. So I wanted to put to the members that, are you agreeing that this way forward, it's what we must follow also as a committee, in order that we must, when time comes of this bill coming back, we must be engaging the department, because when we put it, we're not aware that there is this recommendation by the treasurer. But because now we do understand, and it was the outlining and understanding of the minister, because of what we did is presenting, are you allowing us that we must go to another bill, and then we'll engage with this bill when it's coming back, after the treasurer is allowing that the department must come and present it.
Welcome the presentation. You know, when you note the financial implication, when you come to percentage of what you don't have, what there's no breakdown of the financial. And my question comes in, I'm just giving a high level summary of my question. How can three provinces are implementing it? Which are those provinces are implementing a flow of them, and six of them, the consultation task, how will it become? You have time frame, because when you delay without any time frame, it won't come. So I'm saying, which I have, I can maybe, let me be, yeah, let's know which provinces do they have legislation on those three of them, and then how are they working with this legislation, and any gaps or any shortfalls that are coming there, then much as well use that better for the coming six provinces which are not implementing, or we are going to consult, and when is that consultation going to take place? That is my just, because we cannot just make, especially on finances, high level billions. Now, of what? It must be placed down. That is such, but I'm fine with just this.
Okay. If I can respond on that, then I'm going to go to the
honorable. Is this, so, Chair, is this section 57 or 76?
76. Okay. Then I'm going to listen, Gutile, you will call it. You know, yes, of course, when because I was already passing you. Sorry if you didn't understand it. It's just close of fun.
Thank you for the presentation. I am a bit lost because you said that it's February 2019 this was successfully approved. And all of a sudden the recommendation by the Treasury and all that. For me, when being is approved, I'm quite lost because I've never been engaged in it. So I can say nothing about it, and on the second one of treasure, still it put me in the dark, so I'm not quite sure what's going on. So I'll wait and see.
Okay. I've seen the hand of the DM.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Maybe let me start with the last part of one of the When cabinet approved, it says go on with the process, going to the commission to everybody in terms of it doesn't say approved to the commission. So that's what was done. So now in the process now of them being and then as this was explained, to implement this bill would have costed 18.5 billion. And the percentages that the Honorable Shogun asked are the percentages from that 18.5 million that we probably in the first year would have needed so much money. In the second year would have spent the percentages of the 18.5 million, which for the government, the department and the country does not have at this particular time because of the colonial situation. Now the treasurer is proposing that the bill needs more consultation in the light of what we need. But this doesn't affect the entire citizens in terms of the national priority. But then what then the DG is explaining is that in that process there are three provinces that have kind of acted in provincial, because remember the bill must be approved at provincial level as well. So there are three provinces that have done that process. But doing that process doesn't mean that they are implemented. Right? It means they have got the bill in paper. But implementing it is something else. So the other six haven't done that. So now with the treasure that thing, it's gonna be impossible. We are going to just do this thing for the sake of bridge, for the sake of compliance, that is what it is. But we don't have that. So rather consult further with provinces and make sure that we look at other ways and other models of how we're gonna fund it, rather than just cutting the bill. That's what we're saying. And that's why then we say the bill is getting delayed to that. I thought it's important to answer that.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Member, the Minister and the Deputy Minister. The province of Durban was found in legislation, the provincial legislation of Gauteng, Limpopo and the Eastern Cape. But those provincial legislation do not set norms and standards. So essentially it's a provincial legislation that establishes the provincial line of service in that particular province. So, but they don't actually set the norms and standards. And that is why the national department is intervening to say we need to have a national norm as to what kind of a liability we need in a particular community and what sort of equipment and the staff do we need to provide in that particular community. Thank you.
Honorable members, let's pass uthi honorable Dixit Acile njengomva webhokhwe. Sikwa art and culture here. It's not a shame of talking about our amakhala. Let's pass to the second bill, which is National Sport and Recreation Amendment Bill.
So we agree with the recommendation.
Yes. The committee, as I proposed, Honorable Mhlongo said, doesn't have any problem, but he wanted this clarification because there's nothing that we can do if it's delayed by in the highest house. So I'm giving a chance to anyone who's going to present the bill, which is DG, the second one, the National Sport and Recreation Amendment Bill. Oh, it's a white paper.
Chairperson, just before we start on this, I was reading and on page 2 it says matter of concern and then it says Parliament is a concern.
What are you saying?
Chairperson, I just want to know, if a bill lapsed, business may be revived, and this is done by a House resolution. Now this is what I was asking right from the start, and the question was then, when does bill lapse? Because it already lapsed, then my question is, was it revived by a health resolution? If it wasn't done, then I want to know, then is it a new bill now? And this is what I was asking when the minister was busy.
That's something that you want, even if we're not yet on that agenda. Hold your horses. No, you can't start with the question. The bill is not yet presented. I've seen why you are in a hurry. Please hold your horses, my leader. The bill must first be presented, and then you ask every question that you want to ask.
No,
you're out of order now. I don't want to use that. Please, honorable member, you know the procedure of the meeting. I'm chairing the meeting. I'm saying the questions must be asked after the presentation. That's my ruling.
Okay.
Don't be afraid of me, please.
The Honorable Advocate Pumgem, did you hear what the DJ say? Mpendile DJ.
We presented white paper last year, which was the second bible, which we had presented also to the paper. All we require now is that we have a desire to implement. And we require a express from Panel that you have considered the result of it, and then you can move with it. There was an indication that if it is policy, if the executive is policy, but it is legislation, then Parliament that will make that decision. So what we had asked and written for Parliament to get last time, we would like to move, right? Without anything writing that says we have considered it, you can move, or we are, department is at liberty. It doesn't need to be like so
thank you, Chairperson, and thank you again for the announcement of us from the DCC. If you had a question from what the department has been considering in light of Section 25 of the Constitution, and the policy development and implementation is the mandate and the prerogative of the department. However, in light of cooperation as well as giving information and appreciating the separation of powers principle, I think it was courtesy on part of the department to inform Parliament in light of how far they've gone and what are the details of the policy of the white paper that they are preparing to work on. That being done, and if like any stakeholder, if Parliament had any input or comment to make, that was also their prerogative to do it in the processes that they have taken. And as we are here today, and if the matter is before the committee, it is up to the committee to indicate if there are any comments or there have been input made, or if everything has been considered and it is in order. But as I indicated, the development and implementation of national policy is the mandate and occupation of the executive working together as the cabinet and the president. So it was merely for information purposes, and if there are comments, then the committee would have done so.
Thank you. That's why in this page 9, it is recommended that the portfolio committee knows the financial implications for intimation of South African public library and information, and then there's all. the minister will inform the revised white paper on arts, culture and heritage was presented to the portfolio committee in November 2019 for consideration and endorsement. Portfolio committee is requested to advise on the endorsement. So my understanding is that what they are doing is correct, and we don't have any problem. If there's any member who does have a problem, they must tell what is the problem. You have got a right to do that. Honorable Mishom.
Not at all. My welcome to the white paper and my hope, which is what we needed. It has been long outstanding, and for us to be sure to be to you. Now we're going to meet. I thought it was five, now it's six. Which it has changed. Now, can I see the, because the time I don't have, where did you move the others? Because the last time I checked it was five. Now that there are now six. That is only, I'm trying to peruse which one was clustered in one, which is I can get it, that is my issue, but I can do it later, if I don't have time that much. But another question that I wanted to kind of welcome this, is the issue of implementation. And I'm worried, I know there's the legal service, the department, but we must know as an oversight committee, when are they going to implement? Because I think when we started this term, we were highly saying we needed to implement it yesterday. Now, can we get that and its own financial implication that we're not aware of?
Can you take another for the AM?
Thank you very much, and thank you very much to the government for the responsibility and the clarity given by the legal advocate about the processes and consultations between the executive and parliament. And I appreciate the fact that what we then, the committee is saying, is that the white paper and the bill, yes, the deputy can continue with the left, but what is important is that they need to be informed regularly. And maybe what the committee needs to say is that the committee must come back on a frequent basis to come in and update on progress being made so that they are in the list, because then it assists them to understand. And the question asked by Honorable Strongo on where they have moved and what happened now, why is there five, six, not five, that information as well will be part of that information as we then come back to
give
the
process.
And I think it's quite
amazing. Thank you so much. That's why we were asking that the legal advisor must be here. I know why, because every now and then when they are written back to us, I'm always going to say, you were part of this when other people are challenging us. Thank you so much also about that information. It makes our work to be easier. Thank you, honorable members.
The bill will be presented by acting DG.
Oh, acting DG.
We could dialogue.
Monday. You were having the Monday.
I lost my phone, so I can actually read there. I didn't even take the good counsel.
No, but Monday. When did you go?
Can I ask if it's indulgent, and I request the things which are politically inclined and where we have to understand them. I'm not undermining the administration wing. But I'm saying that can you give a minister just a brief, because there's some character. Honestly enough, there's something that I want to hear, especially as a leader in the department politically. I'm not undermining what you're going to say, but because there was this whole, we usually engage chair for the time of the minister, but I disagree. Now, I'll ask you, can you give the minister, he ended up saying to punish the minister and then some card.
You arrived late, but now we want to ask you to go back where the minister was saying. You just catch the last words of the minister.
I was already there.
Honorable Minister,
I think, Chair, perhaps let me start by saying that I've had the so-called nationalization theory blended around. But the empowerment we are talking about here is in instances where you have a confederation, which is us copying it, where it really cannot be able to deal with issues of the federation. As I said, some of these issues recur. They are perennial problems which have been there for almost 2 decades. SASCOC itself cannot be able to deal with them and so on. We then felt that you need an independent tribunal to deal with this. You need a tribunal which will be able, because federations get frustrated. They sometimes come to the department trying to run away from an intervention from the department and the minister, which will be called interference, as it has happened here. You then need this tribunal to deal with that, to deal with the disputes, as it were. So that's one. So meaning the minister will appoint the tribunal. It's not going to be referred elsewhere or the president. Secondly, is the issue related to fitness centers, NGOs, where we have to know, we need to have a way of intervening. We need to intervene there. We amend the 11, section 11. We need to intervene and regulate that area, that area. Because of experience. See, when you deal with the doping, the drug matter, you have some of these centers which use drugs, some in bodybuilding and so on, abuse drugs, actually, with impunity. So you need to regulate that so that you have a situation where you are able to deal with this problem. As we see it now, the department is dealing with a particular case of a bodybuilding center which had a situation of people being investigated for drug abuse. Even before the end of that investigation, or before the verdict, it was the investigation was done. Because of the drugs, if people were using or yes, were using, the person died even before. Because of the drugs. So we can't just leave that and say, by the grace of supernatural, that matter will take care of itself. Most of them are private entities, but they have a direct impact to the public good, because if a person dies, doesn't matter that you were doing your private entity. That's one. The second one, some of these standards do not adhere to the policies of safety regulation. So what happens? Somebody goes to the gym, attends to the gym and so on in this center, and something happens to him or gets hurt. You know what they do? The center, they just produce the... No, you know, you came at your own risk. We say we cannot fold our hands and say, no, it's a private matter. Because those are citizens. We need to find a way of intervening their land, ensure that all the safety regulations are adhered to. So that's at the level of... because what we have currently is that it says, well, the minister would use regulations to regulate. But the problem is that regulations should not be fundamental. When it's fundamental, it has to be legislative. It has to be administrative or whatever, but it can't be fundamental. That's the problem. So the issue, I've canvassed the issue of actually you are the main sponsor, honorable member. Because, as I said, it got me thinking that when did the FNB case happen? In 2020. 3 years down the line. You can't move. You are, the government, I responded to you that the people there are saying they're from the government, they're in the city. No, just get out of here. And you, on the other hand, what are you doing as the department? So you are weak and so on. So I don't want to, you know, the government to appear to the honorable member of the But how do you ensure that immediately when such things happen, they are attended to, but not referring to the president, because it takes so much time. As I said, the president is not going to be appointing commissions, judicial commissions of inquiry every other day. So we have a mechanism to do this. So the issue of SARS-CoV powers being taken, now I know that's political. It won't happen. It's us called action, which would come to the department, to the minister, and say, no, look, we have this issue. Because part of the problem, there's no clarification on who constitutes the National Federation. We start the morning, he decides himself with his friend in his corner, there where he comes from, the I Federation, the National Federation. What they do, they will go to international bodies, get affiliated there, and only to find that there is no footprint of a National Federation. So you need to look into those problems. So basically, I've left clearly the issues of the long title and the definitions, the people who are able to deal with that. Because in the act also there's confusion of a commission, when in fact we have SARS-CoV now. The things which need to be clarified and corrected there. But the major thing is that we want the emphasis, the thrust of this amendment, are more focused on development and more development. If you make an example, for instance, you have the international tennis match which has taken place in the past few weeks, and those have nothing to do with tennis at all. Special education has nothing to do with sports. Administrators of the land. It's a good thing. Everybody went there. There is no commitment that perhaps 20 cents out of there to help the children of Western Cape, where we're playing this Western Cape for development purposes. So anybody comes in, can come in the country, do whatever. With the national imperatives, especially development, which I emphasize, there is no benefit to South Africa. Come coming to the issue of the bill, the revival of the bill, as you said, last as the Smith administration was reforming its work and so on. But under the pretext that when it reached Parliament, it had to be taken back to Cabinet to restart the process. And we came in and said, no, it was a mistake. There wasn't such a thing. Parliament pointed weakness, that is the committee. Fundamental weakness Parliament pointed was the lack of consultation of the provinces, through NCOP and so on and so forth. So that was the main thing Parliament flagged. It was, Parliament never said, no, take this thing back, it's out of order and so on. It was a constructive engagement with Parliament, which understood that the process started where it started, with the Cabinet looking at the matter. In fact, it starts with technical people dealing with it, legal and so on. It comes to Cabinet, Cabinet engages with it, and the Cabinet satisfies itself that no, at this stage, this bill can now go to Parliament. When it's in the hands of Parliament, it's Parliament then which runs on it. But Parliament says, no, we're not going to be running with this thing to its final conclusion, its logical conclusion, which is the passing of the bill, especially because it's Section 76. And therefore, you, Department, missed the step here. You did not consult. You did not consult the province. So that was the thing. So what was the department supposed to do? Supposed to consult the province. And then the process is parliamentary process. You see what you do with it, you kick it out or you. But where department was supposed to correct, it was there. So we went back and clarified cabinet, the leader of business, that no. Parliament didn't say it. So it's not the basis for the lapsing of the bill. It's a wrong basis. Parliament said, do what you're supposed to do as department. So we are doing that. But when it was, I said this initially, that perhaps the timing was an issue, which I accepted right from the beginning, that because the timing would have been until the 10th of January, which is a month, from the 10th of December to the 10th of January. And because there was an issue with timing, we then went back and said, no, but there's something wrong with the term, and it must be acknowledged that it's wrong. And therefore, this thing must be extended, not the 10th of January. It must go up until the following month, which is February, the end of the month, the February, which is the case now. The 28th of February is the last day for that. But taking it back when further than that, that it's not only provinces which were targeted. It gave the second chance for all South Africans, even those who made their mission when it came to Parliament and so forth. That no, they can still have another bite on the net. So the amendments. Chair are very clear on the actually on the guide of the reviving of it. So it's not starting afresh, meaning going to Parliament, going to consultation, going to Cabinet and coming here. Actually, when people would have made their input in the hands of Parliament, what you do with it in your head, as it were, but we were correcting the basis for the lapse, that it's not the correct basis. So in other ways, as far as we're concerned, it's not lapse, and it should be put aside. So that's where we are with the bill. But Chair, I think there are other technical areas with the bill, and I thought the team would be afforded that chance without covering much the areas are covered, then going through areas which are critical, particularly technical. But the rationale on the organization infrastructure, that they should not waste time on that. But there will be, for instance, further clarify the power which have been taken away from us. That's the point they would just be raised, I've covered that as well. But just to clarify those, I'll suggest the story, Chair, that perhaps in 5 minutes' time, so that we get more of engagement on the matter.
Thank you, Minister. Honorable members, let's not, I'm seeing the hand, we're given Minister to finish what Honorable Mhlongo was saying that he didn't finish. But what Minister is just explained is in this bill which they are going to present, exactly what you are taking your time answering the question, that thing is in the bill, which was not yet presented. If I've respected Honorable Mhlongo and you, Minister, but what we have explained, it's now it's going to be presented, it's inside here in this field. But also, the reality is that the cycle of NCO, we missed it, as we are saying. That's what happened. Those who were not in the previous parliament, they must all remember that the bill was just missed the cycle in the NCO, which is 76, that even now we must look on that, because the program of the NCOP, they are having their own cycle. We can say today, 28th of February, but if they are not yet having a cycle that they are going to the provinces according to their program, we must, as the Minister was saying, maybe even that 28th February will affect our work. The cycles are very important. NCOP is always asking to respect their cycles. But honorable members, let's give the acting DG to present, because all what we're going to ask is going to be out of what the minister already was explaining and what honorable Mhlongo was explaining. I'm with my indulgence, honorable members, can we give the acting DG to present, and in order that we must ask questions.
The reason for me asking a question now is quite important, because the question that I is going to ask is exactly on what the minister now said. And the minister has said that this bill has lapsed in May. In terms
just
of
a
national
moment,
assembly.
Honourable members, with due respect, can we, in order that we must ask inclusive questions. Park your question. No one is not going to allow you to ask that question. Let the department present that question. Minister is going to be here. Let's take all the questions, not the questions before the bill is presented. I'm pleading you. I'm not saying your question is not going to be answered. Please assist us in order that this bill must be presented, and we must ask all the relevant questions. Which is relevant, your question?
But Chairperson, my question is not, listen, if I could ask you so. My question is not on the bill's content. My question is on the legality of the bill being reintroduced. Well, according to the Constitution and the powers of Parliament, therefore any left business may be revised, and this is done by the way of a House resolution. So my question is, was there a House resolution?
Advocate, please assist us, because when I was hearing the minister, it's not lapsed. It's because of these technicality which we are talking. Please, let's have the people, the gurus of the law. Please, I'm giving that question of yours to the gurus of the law.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the first and foremost point is that Parliament is a creature of statute, which means every enabling power of Parliament must come from constitution, the legislation, or the rules of Parliament. And Chairperson, in respect of the bill that is about to be presented, and considering what the rules of Parliament indicate in terms of processes and how we process legislation, due to the fact that the previous Parliament, which was changing the matter and everything was interesting before Parliament for its processing, up to the time when that came to session of the last Parliament, in terms of the rules of Parliament, which is Rule 23 of the National Assembly, when a bill is introduced in the Assembly and by the end of the day of the session of the 10th of the Parliament, if the second reading on the bill has not been done, such as the last week, unless the National Assembly takes otherwise. And at the point where I'm sitting, Chairperson, I must admit I haven't checked the status of this bill and the position whether the National Assembly has taken a resolution to indicate whether to continue with the bill or to revise it as it should. So I'm not in a position to offer any answer in the Chairperson, but the rules will require that at the end of the session, any business that is on the order paper or referred, and if the second reading has not been done, it must be revised. However, I do appreciate in this instance this bill that the bill was before the portfolio committee and there were engagements. I remember there was a briefing and other processes that took place, which means the matter has already been referred to the committee. And if the committee in that regard has not made a report that now moves the process forward back to the plenary, to the National Assembly, it is still the matter that is before the committee. And unfortunately, there is a huge lacuna in our rules which does not speak then to the situation that this bill is in, which means the bill was already referred to the committee and the first reading by the House was done. But it is not in the process of taking it to the second reading, which means it was not yet placed on the order paper, which means this committee has not done the report to say, this is our recommendation as the extended arm of the Assembly, and this is what we are suggesting the Assembly has. That process did not take place. Furthermore, in terms of the program of the committee and with where the committee has indicated as to what is lacking and what it requires the department to do, which is within its prerogative. So there's been an ongoing process which has not found finality anywhere in terms of the legislative processes. And therefore, as things stand right now, I think we all need to check the position, but the work of the committee may proceed in the bill, taking into account the fact that the matter was not placed on the order paper, but also because that rule which I referred to, it says once the introduced bill appears on the order paper for the second reading, and the process of this bill did not go as fast, which means the committee was not done with whatever it was doing, or the committee did not reach the stage where it had made a decision to say, this is the process we are recommending. Unless, of course, there is a step I missed when the committee was proceeding with a
Chair, I think this time I open up for this committee, even for the previous committee. I was always making noise to say our issues are not going to Parliament. It's not just to discuss things here. I don't want to apologize. Minister, you must take sport cigarettes. I'm just saying, bring it to you as a priority, because it's like there are no items that go to Parliament. Even the previous term, I will ask, why do we discuss these things and they don't go there for the Fundi, Yeliga, Nashela Mans. We've never done that as the even the previous committee. Now, our age, I don't know who will do that. I'm not sure it's your team, chairperson, for us all, because there's an issue for all our items to go to Parliament. Our age, let's take your recommendation, let's make sure that all items the Parliament, because it's like they don't take sports seriously. Even this one, if we don't, it will lapse again. That is my view. But thank you, I concur with you. I didn't want to raise this, but we concur with you, because we saw it. That was one of our input to say, extend it. This is new, because, but we welcome even what you've done, Minister, to extend the 8 days instead of the 10th of January. We really welcome that. But now the process, in other words, we're dealing to, let's start as, yes, maybe we can, you'll come back to us after seeing this, but we stay to put it, there are gaps, we saw it coming, but there are gaps, it's a new bill, which must start this, that process.
Minute and PM.
Just a small thing, in what Honorable Mishomo is saying, not a long thing, that I welcome what you say. Actually, I think all of us, it's going to say to us, not only this bill we're talking about, that fundamentally the task of public representatives is to pass laws which make things easier and better for a particular person and constituency. So if a year starts from January to December, there is no piece of legislation we are passing, we are actually saying that everything is fine. Why, on the other hand, you will have constituencies raising issues from time to time. So I concur with the point with the Honourable Member.
Another big DM.
Thank you very much, Chair. I want to agree with what the Minister said, but also agree that the whole process is a learning curve for all of us, particularly because when we are here as members of the Parliament, we continue learning. And my suggestion was going to be the state law advisors and the legal team of the department, they must meet and look and then prepare a report on the bill and bring that to the committee. I'm going to say, this is what we have found out and this is the legal, the cost that we think we must take in this bill. Whether you say we introduce the bill or not, it must come out from, but it must come as a proposal so that then all of us will know how to move on. And also, just to remember that what Minister is saying in terms of our duty, that means we pass legislation, we do oversight, and we go out there to consult the community and do public participation. Because that's the crux of the work of members of Parliament. And therefore, this is actually reminding us as well what it is that we should be doing for the people of Parliament. And I think it's an important thing that has happened now in this moment, because it actually reminds us and take us back to say what actually are we here.
Honourable members, thank you to honourable members who contributed But you know why we called the advocate? It was because when we ended with this bill, the legal advices of the department and of the parliament, they were here. And if you still remember, they were even differ from one another. I even, as a former chairman, saying that go back and look of the issues. Don't come in the committee and differ. And then it was our last meeting. And so I'm saying we can take responsibility, but immediately that upset, they must call the legal advisors, because even then they were in the committee and discussing, and they were not seeing eye to eye. And I've said, go and sit both of you in order that we must have a direction. Is the reason, Honorable Nsongo, that we called them again. But thank you, Honorable Members, that you raising this thing. But this issue of this bill, it was having a problem even within the legal advisors of both department and parliament. And I made it so that today, please invite our legal advisors from parliament, because they left the issue when it was presented with this problem that now we're discussing. But as honorable members and the ministers and deputy ministers is saying, it's a learning curve. But I was aware that we'll be going back to square one, because there was a problem, and it was between the legal advices. You still remember, I've said, you can't come in, go, and it was our last meeting. So every contribution we are taking as a learning curve, honorable members. Let's thank these members who raised this, and by now, the last words of our advocate is saying that it doesn't mean that we cannot continue with the bill, but noting what is being said. Honorable Knox.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I think what the Minister said is important, that our role is to do parliamentary work. But I just want to emphasize what the DM said, so that we get that report quickly. We don't spend resources where we're not supposed to. Yes, today we agree that we continue with the presentation. But just to emphasize that the legal team must come with that report as a matter of urgency, so that we know what is our way forward. Mm-hmm. Otherwise we continue, we organize this, that, only to realize later that we were supposed to take this vote. So my appeal as an emphasis, and seconding the proposal by DM, that the legal team must do that quickly. But we should not be held at ransom by the disagreement of the legal teams. If there is that disagreement, let it come here, and we'll then take it up and resolve it. We're not going to wait and say we're not doing anything, because the two teams are, we know they are not from the same university, but they can't hold the committee's work at ransom. That would be my appeal.
I concur with the DM, but there's a process. This must go for a House resolution.
This is the first time.
Now, speaking, I'm intimidating. Now, I propose, Chair, can we give this a time frame? Because we tend just to talk well on a time frame. Next Tuesday, can the legal team now come together? When we come next to Tuesday, the proposal, next Tuesday, they table that, and then we take it in as we move to Parliament the following week.
Mm-hmm.
That is my proposal for resolution for the House.
Chair.
But we can discuss.
I think let's leave it to the legal people. Because if you had the lacuna, this thing happened in the past,
mm-hmm.
where the bill had lapsed and it was revived. It's not the first time.
Yes.
We're not, it's not like a recovery of Mount Sinai today.
It happened.
So it happened a number of, since 1994 in this parliament. now, rather than tying ourselves, because the other thing is that the leader of government says, because they are involved here on behalf of the national executive, has the capacity to interact with the Speaker of Parliament, especially when the bill is not asked to start from the French, you know. So rather, I would suggest that taking into cognizance the urgency of the matter, would rather get state law advisors, parliamentary advisors, and all advisors, legal, whoever, come together and then look at the matter. Because the prescribing of how we move from here is something else. Because if you listen to the advice we got today, it's really not, in fact it's here. It's exactly what Parliament said, that relating to this matter in particular, the national the bill itself has since lapsed on the month of May 2019 in terms of the National Assembly rules, the rules that she spoke about. Parliament has the power in terms of the Constitution, what the Honourable Member is saying, to determine and control its procedures and procedures, right? Therefore, any large business may be revived, and this is done by way of House resolution, which the Honourable Member is referring to. It is an established practice that the House can revive a bill from the stage it reached before lapsing, but this is only in respect of the bills that lapsed at the end of the annual session of the Assembly. Annual session of the Assembly. Right? However, the procedure to revise bills that lapse when Parliament is dissolved is not given. So, what this means, Chair, is that let's leave it to the legal people, but put an emphasis to them on the urgency to deal with the matter, that it be dealt with. Because the very last point talks to what she called lacuna. That's what she said in her own words, lacuna, meaning that they had to put it like this. It couldn't have been definite because some bills have been revived in the past, as it were. So let's do that, Chair. Let the legal people deal with it, come and advise the committee, but emphasize the need for urgency of the matter.
Agreed, Honourable Member. Agreed.
Just because of time, we have this in November. I'll propose for we continue. You summarize, don't go into detail, and then we'll ask questions. What one to ask. I see your presentation is what we did.
Madam Chair, thank you very much.
Mr. Gibson,
Mr. Honourable Member, I'm going to ask our senior legal officer, advocate, Mishnah Makhul, to take us through the clauses so that we can see where the amendments are and how the lay of experiment is. Thank you.
So there's no air conditioning.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Chair. Member, first and foremost, I'm going to just summarize. I'm not going to on detail, especially on the background. I'm not going to read the background, but I'm going to highlight few things on the background.
of the particular position. As we remember, Madam Chair, is that this particular bill, the National Sports and Recreation Act of 1988, Act No. 112/1998, was promulgated and assented in 1998. It was the most, the first principal bill that we had. And this particular bill was amended in 2007. The amendment of the bill in 2007 was to ensure that we incorporate certain things, for instance, the issue of the Sports Confederation, the issue of the Department of Sports and Recreation. Therefore, on those particular amendments, we had a lot of things that need to happen. And when those things happened in 2007 amendment, there were challenges that were envisaged in terms of this particular thing. And in I don't think you will follow me based on the slide. On those particular challenges, we found that the 2007 amendment bill was doing the long title, was other way around. You remember, it's supposed to have read as this bill is amended to establish sports confederation and the department. We know the reason why the department has to be re-established. The Sports and Recreation South Africa, because of the merger between the Sports Commission and the previous Department of Sports. Now, after this particular thing, we saw that there's something wrong with the long title. The long title doesn't talk to the content of the act itself. Therefore, there was one of the mistakes that we found ourselves into. Hence, we have to come up and say, this is the time where we need to correct that particular mistake. Because if we can't correct that mistake, people will say, we don't have the department. We don't have the Sports Confederation. How can the minister recognize Sports Confederation? Whereas the long title talks about different things. That's one of the issues that we have looked around about this particular day. I think the minister alluded to the issue of the intervention and the guidelines and everything. What really the object of this bill is, the first thing is to clarify the role and responsibility of all the stakeholders. If you look at the Principal Act was very, very quiet in terms of what role should the department play, what role should the Sports Confederation play, and the Federation. You find that there is a, what we call, a clash of responsibility. One another is stepping on another's one tool in terms of their responsibility. Therefore, we are trying to make sure that we clarify that particular role. To make a provision to regulate sport or recreation agencies and provide recognition of sport or recreation bodies. As you are aware, in terms of the challenges we had, the minister has alluded to that, the issue of their recognition, the mushrooming of federations. I can give you one example. You find that the federation goes to an AGM. In the AGM, the president is outvoted. Because the president has knowledge of the international body, how they work and everything, he starts to formulate his own federation. And he goes to the people he knows, international, and they start to recognize that particular federation. And now the federation will come to the minister. Minister, we're having a problem. How can we resolve this problem? And this has really impacted greatly on some of the federation. Honorable Chair, we have the Cycling South Africa, which was destroyed financially because of a new body which wanted to run cycling without paying due fees to Cycling South Africa. We had the problem with WOMSA and Motorsport South Africa, which really the court said we need to the court said the act doesn't speak clearly that Motorsport South Africa is the only authority of that particular code of sport. And therefore it allowed this mushroom federation to come in and be recognized as a sport. Therefore it provides us with a problem because we don't know who are we dealing with in this particular environment.
Hence, we have to look at those particular things and try to resolve them. Hence, the minister have to make sure that we have that particular recognition regulation. The issue of the minister, I think the minister alluded to the issue of the committee of inquiry, the tribunals, and the rationale behind those things. Because those are the important interventions, not interfering, are the important interventions in terms of this particular to the sporting and to ensure that sport is run effectively and efficiently without anything. Madam Chair, yes it is, I didn't go to all of these things, but I'm going to go to clause by clause. In terms of clause 1 of the bill, seek to amend section 1 of the Act, the definition, the club. It's inserted to a club that plays a major role in terms of sports development and further ensure that such club is accountable to the national federation. We all understand the history of our sport. Some clubs are more powerful than the federation, and they can determine what needs to be done within the federation, and it creates a lot of problems. The definition of the committee is to clarify the role of that particular committee in dealing with disputes, which falls within SASCOP has faced in many occasions, Madam Chair. We are not going to hide about that. There's a lot of disputes. The ministers alluded to them, and some of them are still working. We're still trying to resolve it, but we have, to be honest, we have stopped the minister from interfering. We said, Minister, please don't go there. It's not our baby. Let the federation deal with their matter. Therefore, we are trying to come up with a clear procedure that if this thing cannot happen, what needs to happen now? The definition of the national colour is intended to clarify the prescribed uniform and dress in connection with the national colour, participating in an international event. In this regard, this clause also provides for insertion of a definition of national colour sport and national emblems. There is a problem. The national colour is one of the issues that say we are trying to nationalize sports. We are giving the minister the power. The minister does not even have a single power to determine the selection of teams and everything. Hence, we are saying the national colour board will be an independent structure that will run by the sports people who have right qualification to be part of the national colour board. Because everyone was given a national colour. We have seen some federations, I mean, make an example, Mutai South Africa Federation. No one has ever heard about that federation, but it only existed in Cape Town, and they already sent 5 people internationally with national colors. We ask ourselves, what is happening here? We seem as if we are a banana republic. Anyone can do whatever you want. The National Color Federation, we have expanded it in order to address the challenges we had in terms of the court interpretation of the principal act. Hence, we have amended to clarify the governing body of court of sports in the Republic with affiliate members in all the provinces. Be mindful, not all sports can be played in all the provinces. We have the aquatic sport, which can only be played in the 3 to 4 provinces. Ocean sport, in the ocean. Therefore, we have taken into consideration of those particular issues. But we have to ensure that we have a federation that is really representative of the people of South Africa. And that federation is supposed to be recognized by Sports and Recreation South Africa. And in our last engagement, we have included the Sports Confederation to ensure that they recognize that particular cultural sport as the only authority in the Republic to manage or run that particular sport. In this clause, we have inserted the definition of the Director General and the MEC, and also we have put the recreational activity, the Sports and Recreation Agency, and the Sports or Recreation Board. Those are the expansion of the definition, because we have a very serious lacuna in terms of this particular definition. Clause 2 of the Bill seeks to amend Section 2 of the Act that provides for the promotion and development of sports and recreation in the Republic. This particular clause is very much important. This clause seeks to insert a new subsection after subsection 6, in order to provide for the function of SASCO that includes, amongst others, coordination of all activities relating to the high performance in sport in the Republic, including team preparation for the major international events, development and implement guidelines for the promotion and development of high performance. As you are aware that SASCO, the responsibility of SASCO were not clear in terms of the edge, to an extent that the sports and recreation plan, the sports and recreation plan clearly come up with how can we define each party's responsibility, including the department, federation, the provinces, and the sports confederation. Therefore, those are the things that we are trying to align this act to the sports and recreation plan. Clause 3 of the bill seeks to amend section 4 of the act that provides for the determination of a sports or recreation policy. This clause seeks to amend subsection 3 of the act to give the minister the power to determine and publish policy objectives to be achieved by Sports and Recreation South Africa, SASCO, and Sports and Recreation Bodies. One of their policies is the Sports and Recreation Plan. Therefore, it's a plan that is there, but we need to ensure that this particular plan is published. Clause 4 of the Act seeks to amend Section 6 of the Act that provides for National Federation by substituting the heading National Federation to Sports or Recreation Bodies, which means we want to be inclusive in terms of the federation. This clause further provides for the sports or recreation body to assume full responsibility for safety and security of members, participants, children and spectators who attend sports or recreation events and physical activities where such events take place within their sports or recreation discipline. I think it talks to the issue of the FNB, if we remember. It was an event that was organized by the management committee of the stadium involving two clubs. Where was the federation? The federation was not involved. Any incident happened, when we asked the federation to account, it's a problem. Clause 4 of the bill seeks to insert clause 2B to the act to give the sports or recreation body a power to ensure that selected players comply with all national calls to participate in the sport, and any person who fails to comply with the obligation of the international controlling board is guilty of an offence and liable for a conviction to a fine or imprisonment, but not exceeding 2 years. But this is based on the recommendation. We have a problem of most of the professional people who are playing overseas who don't even want to attend national duties. Therefore, this clause we are trying to emphasize that please attend national duties and be proud of South Africa. Clause 4 of the bill seeks to insert clause 2C to the act to give the power to determine and allocate the responsibility to national federation as published in the government gazette from time to time. As you understand, federation will have to tell us what they are supposed to do, and the minister will look at those powers and publish them, that the people must be aware of what is happening within that particular federation. Clause 6 of the bill seeks to amend section 8 of the act that provides for the resources for sports and recreation by substituting the weight, mass and insect made in subsection 1. The reason of this clause is that, as you are aware, that the department does not have financial resources to deal with the building of the stadiums and everything, the facilities. Those are fall within the Schedule 5 of the Constitution, within the municipality. Those are the responsibilities. Therefore, we cannot just bind ourselves and say, we will provide those particular facilities, whereas we know we don't even have that particular budget to provide it. We rely on Clause 6 further inserts a new section 3A to provide the minister with the power to publish normal standards for the building of new sports facilities. Presently, most of our built sports facilities doesn't even comply with the measures of safety and security. Therefore, these normal standards will provide those social security. That will be determined and be adhered to by the municipality when they build the new stadium. Clause 7 of the Bill seeks to insert a new Section 8 of the Principal Act as to provide sufficient and effective empowering provision for the appointment of the Sports and Recreation Facility Inspector. We need to ensure that all facilities must be inspected. The function and power of such inspectors, among others, the function and powers of the inspectors, amongst others, which means the inspectors will go to the facility and ensure that all norms and standards in terms of the building of this particular facility are complied with. And they will have the power to enter and request documentation and everything. Clause 8 of the bill seeks to amend Section 9 that provides for the program to promote equity in sport and recreation by inserting subsection 2, the new subsection 3 and 4 of the Act to empower the minister to make regulations for the vulnerable community to participate in sports and be protected from any sexual abuse and exploitation. South Africa, we normally hire foreign people without even checking their background. And sometimes we end up having, we end up having what we call habitual child abusers who come to work in South Africa, and those are example of their gymnastics where they hire someone from Belgium and that person's background was not right and he cannot deal with the children. Therefore, we need to ensure that these vulnerable people are protected. There's this thing of minor trafficking in sports. It comes in the form of what we call development. We take young people from their country and send them to other countries under the pretext that we are going to develop these particular people, and they will left stranded. What will happen if there are queries? They come to the minister, and we are not even aware. Therefore, we have to ensure that in terms of this act, we have to protect those vulnerable people, especially girls. Clause 9 of the bill seeks to amend Section 11 of the Act that provides for national colors and incentive for sports achievers and recreation practitioners by inserting a new subsection 1A to provide for the appointment of national colors boards to ensure that the participation by the public and sports and recreation body in the nomination process is transparent and open. We don't want to have what we call a small class where people can appoint their own people. Therefore, the public must be involved in terms of the appointment of the national colors. Therefore, the minister is not having those powers to say, I'm going to give this particular people the national colors. Clause 10. Clause 10 of the bill seeks to insert a new section 11A, B, and C, and D. Section 11A provides for the building and hosting of international sports and recreational events. There's been a mushrooming of hosting of events, which the department or the federation does not even know. We only invite people, I think the minister alluded on the issue of the tennis, where the federation was not involved, but it was the foundation that invited those tennis players. What was the impact on that? What did we achieve? There is nothing, because the federation is still suffering and the tennis has not been developed in the community. Therefore, we are trying to make sure that we provide a clear picture how to ensure that the bidding and hosting of events are done and regulated. Clause 11B provides for the provision of bid and hosting of international sports or recreation events in Denmark without a written approval of the minister. You remember, in terms of the bidding and hosting regulation, we have what we call the application, which means that the minister must approve. Is there on the principal act, but we are trying to emphasize it on in terms of the empowerment provision within the act itself. Section 11C deals with the combat sports and list of all different types of combat sports. The importance of the combat sport is that we still have those underground cage fighting. We need to regulate that. Those are the unsafe and we need to ensure that the combat sport has become regulated and it's safe. The only combat sport that is regulated is boxing South Africa. Because all others, we don't have any regulation for them. Kickboxing and others, there are new things that are coming, especially in terms of the combat sport. Section 11B provides for the minister to establish a fitness industry regulatory authority to oversee, administer and govern the safe environment of the fitness industry in the prescribed manner. That includes, amongst others, establishment, objective, functions, governance of the fitness industry regulatory authority. I think the minister has alluded to that and the problem that we found ourselves in this age. Hence, we are on the verge of being suspended by the international board if we don't act against all those athletes in bodybuilding that were found doping, with the federation. Let me inform the house, with the federation and the international board want us to condone doping in sports and said, if we punish these players, they will go back to where they come from. We are not going to allow that. And we cannot be dictated by international federation to condone the wrong thing that we are supposed to redress. We need to redress that particular issue. Therefore, the issue of the fitness is a problem to us if it needs to be regulated. It deals with a lot of things, but the ministers alluded to that effect. Clause 11 of the bill seeks to amend section 13 of the Act that provides the dispute resolution by amending subsection 1 and inserting a new section dealing with the appointment of the Ministerial Committee of Inquiry to investigate matters that bring sports and sports or recreation bodies into disrepute. This is because I think it tries even to cover a lot of things. There's been a willing dealing between ourselves, the department, and the federation. And in that particular issue, no one took us to court. But when we have to deal with the FNB issue, they were all awake and they took us to court and said we don't have the power. If all other federations allow us to continue and we dealt with them and we dealt with the issue of governance. You could see that cricket is going to improve, SASCOM is going to improve in terms of governance. Clause 12 of the bill seeks to insert a new section 13G to 13O after section 18C that deals with, among others, establishment, composition and appointment of court arbitration tribunal, qualification of members, terms of office of members, appointment of chairperson, deputy chairperson, court arbitration proceedings, conflict, and disclosure of interest by members. I think the minister alluded to the sports arbitration tribunal. That is the most important thing. From our side, we have a present case now where Kaizer Chiefs has been banned to go to on-site fair. The only way to appeal this particular process is to go to the very, very expensive process of CAS.
That's a bad decision.
You don't personalize comics for the courage and truth.
Therefore, that's the only process where they're supposed to do. Therefore, we want to engage and say, let's see internal, what process can we do? We need to exhaust this thing and ensure that whatever decision we come up is acceptable. Plus, section 13M and 13N of the bill provide for the offences and delegation of power. I think we had a present act which is the principal act which was very, very light in terms of offences and delegation. We normally call it an academic legislation. We just do the wrong things, but we cannot touch you because we are afraid to be punished by the international board. But here we are making sure that if you do the wrong things, the law will deal with you. Clause 13 of the bill seeks to amend section 14 of the Act that provides for making regulation by extending regulation in the Act to provide for school sports development programs and the fees for sports or recreation agents. As you are aware, we need to deal with the issue of the recreation agents. It's a problem. some of our young players are having challenges in terms of recruitment. Therefore, the agents play a major role in destroying some of the athlete's career. Therefore, we need to ensure that we really regulate that practice. Clause 14 of the bill seeks to amend the long title of the act. And clause 14 of the bill provides for the short title of the act. Chairperson, here we, those are the bodies that we have consulted previously. Hence, we have opened it up based on the input from the committee that we need to consult extensively with Salga municipality and the province to such extent that we have put that published that consultation on the government gazette, and our closing date for the input is the 28th of February. We already consulted with Salga and we are expecting them to finalize their processes in terms of the input and everything, because there are certain things that affect the municipality in terms of the facility infrastructure. Chairperson, I'm not going to further on this thing, but what I will highlight is that the processes, because this is not a new bill, the process has gone through. The bill has been checked as Section 76. It involves the provinces. The parliamentary procedures were followed when the bill was tabled in Parliament in 2018, in the fifth administration. Therefore, all the procedures were followed. And thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable members, the presentation and the engagement.
Chairperson, the deputy minister was the chairperson and he wanted us to engage them at that time. But now because he is on another side, there is no question. Things change.
But what I know is monitoring the process. You did hear contribution.
But nonetheless, Chair, we welcome the presentation. Chair, I think one of the things that I just want to talk as a layman, not as a student, the problem, the issue with SASCOC, whereby we tend to address them on legislation. I'm just putting it blank as a layman. Now, we're supposed not to deal with things like that. If SASCOC is an issue also, if there's an entity that we have an issue with, let's deal with that. Let's not make a legislation for us to deal with. I'm just saying, Uti, my view, half of these amendments, 30% or 50%, are SASCOC issues. And it shows that the ministerial recommendations are not yet implemented fully. Now, that shows that we've wasted 6 million. Is it for the 6 million, sorry, I might be wrong on something, yeah, guys, for nothing. Because those recommendations, if they are not, even to date, are not implemented, that causes us to, we're working backwards. We're still going to consult, wasting another money for such as we've done with SASCOC issues. That is the first thing I want to highlight. There's a lacoon in the house.
Ooh, it was number wrong.
Remember, I'm not a huge legal issue. I only know finances now. I've learned the way. But Chair, I wanted, let's discuss this. What is this independence? Because you must understand the word independence. Who appoints, is the minister going to appoint the committee or the tribunal? What function are they going to, is this a permanent status or committee that will be once off looking all, or it will be time to time? That is the question that I wanted to find out. Even another question was, can we get, if the department and the minister is open, can you get the input from SASCOC when they submit it? Can you get input from, because one thing that I remember last time we spoke with SAFA, and they said they didn't submit anything, they're angry with this. Now, did we consult SAFA What is the input with the amendment of this item? Another issue, appointment of, or I think the appointment of, it's either you call them committee, inspector, tribunal. Who appointed is the minister, how? I think we need the details. Because we just think of how will it be advertised, will we get qualifications? No, it's not detailed with how that implementation. And their powers, will they have, what kind of powers do they have? Is there any influence? Remember when I'm appointed by the minister, I'm working under his boss, it's not like he or she is my boss. Now the powers of that committee, will it be influenced by the minister? Because you appointed me. Now, are they, the independent part, I think we must define it exactly what it is. I want to make an example. And why I was saying the issue with SASCOP, I think you've raised other issues. Why the other issues are, you know, Karachi, South Africa. We don't even call them Karachi, South Africa. The issues in Karachi, South Africa. SASCOP cannot even assist. Now, you give us glossy examples, but we know issues, and when we don't have time, Chair, you see, that our agenda is too long. But I think we must deal with all federation, and I welcome you to the Massey. If SASCOP, I think maybe we must do away with SASCOP to come up with something different. That is my view. In a sense that we must not give the minister nationalizing, but come with something else, not to nationalize. That is my view. Let's give a sportsman to run sports, not politician to run sports. And one thing that I wanted to comment is issues, but can we get a practical example, you know? Why did you come with this amendment of sexual abuse exploitation? Can we know the issues? What causes for this amendment? What are the real issues? Can we understand exactly what are the real issues? Let's be practical. Let's not come with something which is it's not there. But and another issue, Chair, can we get all submissions that have been submitted before the 28th of March as a committee, just to see, compare, and understand the world out there, how do they perceive this? That is my only observation, Chair, for now, and then I will share it.
I'm of the view that the department is being taken to ride, basically. And it runs the risk of just being a talk shop. Talk and get here and getting people to show or what they know about whatever issues that got to be discussed and nothing is done about it. It is embarrassing that the government come here and realize that actually the status of the bill that is being discussed, they are oblivious of it. Hence the legal personnel, that I would believe that after all the input that she put, you know, we should have been embarrassed and sort of like adjourn and go back and get to come with the right information as to go. It feels like it has been a sort of like waste of time into getting into this bill again, talk about it as it was done last year. So there isn't much that has been done basically. Within this field, so I think there's an inadequate clarity of what's going on and the responsibilities of how to come up with the plan to move ahead and go forward. I think we need to take this department very seriously and come up with issues and you know, get here and move forward. I mean, for me as the member of the committee, I must say that I haven't gained anything or have the way forward to what is going to happen the next time we meet. Yes, of course, I appreciate the time and the presentation, but for me, I believe that there should have been a better way of coming up with issues where we can come up with ways and means of coming up with good, encouraging coaches to come and give the female athletes, you know, a better fitness. Coaches that they can win, you know, the competitions and yeah. All in all, I'm saying thank you, but for me, I haven't learned anything. So thank you very much.
Thank you, honorable member, honorable Papa, honorable Siabe.
Thank you, Chair. I have no idea what lacuna means, but I will just start by number one that procedurally I still stay with it, that it is totally wrong. We put the cart in front of the donkey here by presenting a bill that should first have been reintroduced by the House or by a resolution of the House. So I will stick by what I said on that. Then come down on the towers, Chairperson. To me, if you look right through the bill, all the powers have been given to the minister. Now, Chairperson, I can't see that sport federations are being run by political, with political power, because this is exactly what's happening. We've got powers, or we've got what we call recognized sport confederations, which are working perfectly, Chairperson. There's nothing wrong with it. And now what's happening is this powers of them are also being given to the minister so that he can take a decision or put someone in position to make a decision when it comes to that. Chairperson, on like international events, I mean, where have you ever heard that the minister in any country makes a decision if an event can take place or not? Not the prerogative of a minister to make that decision. Yeah, the minister gets another power that he can make that decision. To me, which is not wrong. Yes, I do understand there are federations, as was said, that really, you know, you get 600 kickboxing clubs, whatever, and they all got their own Springbok emblems, whatever. Yes, that we should regulate. But what I'm saying, so there should be a type of regulation on that. But we can. These are cases that should be taken forward one as it comes along. You cannot now go and put a blanket approach on it. And it's the same with a dispute. This is only now the tribunal that can run these disputes. Now again, my colleague went into the tribunal, who it will be, etc. So I'm not going to go into that. And then if you come again, when it comes to funding of federations, the responsibility gets put back onto the federation. And right at the end of it, well, it comes where the minister actually protects himself. And he says, like, wherever there are finances available. Now, Chairperson, you can't put the financial... you can't put it on the federations and then at the end say wherever the minister will be able to have funds. Then obviously another thing was on the national colours, which is again the minister that is the person that will be able to decide on that. I don't want to get into that Saskok issue, so I will leave that. Chairperson, coming back to recreational activity, my word, can you think Virgin Active, which is a professional company in sport and recreation being run by the minister, that day I will retreat with my Virgin Active membership immediately. Now, Chairperson, this is a recreational activity where I take place. I cannot see how a minister can be in charge of that. Yes, that there's drug abuse in these type of clubs. I 100% agree with that. Then we have to take these people on that's busy with these type of things. But we can't say that you are in charge of recreational activities. I mean, this is taking it one step too far. And then the minister must prescribe criteria for recognition of sport and recreational bodies. If the as the only sport or recreational body for particular sport code for recreational activity. I'm using Glasscock again. Guidelines and policies on the sponsors. The guidelines. It is not known to us. So what guidelines will be taken on that? It can be anything. So when choosing teams, I mean. How will government or the minister then come and actually intervene into all of these? So to me it's like some of this are some hidden agendas in this, to be quite honest. And I feel that personally we should not get, if I look at this whole bill, if I look at all the powers that will be given into the minister or whoever appoints, I just don't think that will work, and I think internationally it will also harm our us as South Africa quite a lot. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. You are very good. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. And thanks very much for the presentation. My understanding is that today's task was to brief the committee on the objectives of the bill. And there'll be a stage where we go clause by clause. Because if you don't go clause by clause and understand the language used clause by clause, certain things may be misinterpreted. So I'm moving from that 3 months. And I'm comfortable that the minister's input, he says the main thing, the emphasis here is development. Development, development, development. Because unless we do that in this country where there's still imbalances, there's a problem. We should not here to discuss. I think at some stage we'll even discuss about the strong box of an SMM, but not for today. Now, in the when this was presented before, I think I had a question. Maybe it's the same question with the shadow minister there. But I don't think he still has hope now. because there's this thing of international bodies saying if government interferes a lot into sports, they may disqualify the country participating. I don't know whether that was looked into. I think that's where even the dispute would suffer. Comes into being. I just want to check whether that was looked into. And even the issue of, I think when we had the presentation from SAFA, they talked about the proceeds from gambling, which will assist in financing sporting activities. I don't see it. I don't know whether it's the competency of this field or it can be done in one way or the other. And this one is trivial, that think when the presenter presented, he was using the word sports. But in the document, sport. And I want to ask this question, sports, sport. The department is Department of Sports, Art and Culture. The Minister of Sports, Art and Culture. I think the smaller thing, but to me it matters. That's why the last time we even said, as you amend, please even amend, because this is a new Department of Sports, Art and Culture. Because if you just say, if you still say the Minister of Sports and Recreation, when you have a new Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, maybe we'll deal with it when we go to Cross by Cross. Sports events, sporting event, they are used interchangeably in the bill, which to me is a matter for concern. But my view is for now we are at a high level. There will be a stage once we are clarified where we get into clause by clause, and that's really where we'll be able to understand the meaning of some of these things. And thanks, Chair.
Honorable members, let me take also this opportunity to thank the department also to come back and present again. I'm suspecting that on the objectives of the draft bill, in my capacity as a member of the committee, I'm agreeing about the power to the minister to intervene in sport disputes by establishing a minister committee of inquiry. We are sitting here with the problem of SASCOC, and then we're trying to intervene as a committee that they must not do whatever they were doing, because now it showed that we were right as a committee. But we did ask the minister to intervene. And that intervention, it was not only the minister. The minister has got a right to establish that inquiry, because that dispute that we were having, we're saying, where can we get such money that SASCOC would be taking the money which is not belonging to the lawyers and to ABC. But I'm still saying that a minister must play a role, because this department has got a minister or ministry to look on sport activities. So if one entity is doing on what SASCOC is doing, who must come? How can you just come and intervene and monitor? So we are in trouble today because SASCOC is doing whatever it pleases them. I do agree, Honorable Mhlongo, that SASCOC must be there, but the way that SASCOC must be monitored is the way that is proposed in this bill. Because when we're saying, don't take that money, don't go to court, where are you going to take this money? But unfortunately, and we cannot not avoid when we're calling them on next week, Tuesday, SASCOC, because we're not yet briefed on whatever problem that it was there. That department also must be present, because it's a very serious problem that we encountered in SASCOC. We want that the entire board on that day must come in this committee, and want the department that must also come, in order that as this committee we must have a confidence that we still need SASCOC. But the way the president board was operating,
is the problem, and we need to hear from themselves when they will meet with the department, and minister promised us that now the problem of SASCOC they handle them. So, but without a minister that you must look, I'm setting an example of these entities, and that we can't have a minister that is a minister of sports, arts and culture, and not monitored everything which is related to sport issues. I'm still saying that we need that. And then, now I wanted just to emphasize, but today again, the process, honorable, it was then we're doing clause by clause. That's why we're saying that this bill is lapsed. So we did that, but I don't know when you're saying that there must be stage that we must deal it clause by clause. Maybe because of the proposal from the ministry that the two offices of legal advisors with immediate effect must come and intervene and give us the process. So I don't know whether that process will open that, because it's a new parliament with new members, that process must be reopened. I cannot say it's not going to be reopened, because we're still waiting that you must be given a guidance. So I'm suspecting that your question is relevant. Thank you, Honorable Minister and Deputy Minister. Yeah, Minister and Deputy Minister.
I think, thanks, I'm glad that you said that the SASCOC will be coming here next week, based on the meaning, on the question of the member, on the recommendations not being delivered. It's a very serious question. So it's an important message to flag that indeed, because they would say, without any fear of contradiction, that we've seen some movement. We went to the AGM of SASCOC with one message and one message only that helped us. I can say we can see some movement towards realizing the recommendations of the investigation as well. The tribunal will be permanent, honorable member. It will be appointed as the right. But the most important thing for us is that it's not going to take a long process. You see, when you support, you would want a judicial commission to be appointed by the president. It's a long process. The Department of Justice has to be involved, because it's responsible for the judiciary, and then there has to be an interaction between the Justice Department and the presidency and so on. At the end of the day, advice to the president. By that time, it's exactly the period. We are in 2020, and so on. So what's going to be an advantage here is that the process will kickstart almost immediately. You'll be able to have a turnaround time and deal with issues there. But also, you are going to have an effect to people who are responsible for the safety of the public, be they federation, private sector in some instances, and everybody else. So it would be in that way. I'm sure the inputs will all get the input from everybody else and the submission. The issue of the details of the appointment obviously will come to that, but the most important thing is that it has to be capable people. It has to be people who are experts in the area so that you are able to get the results which are going to help sport and recreation in general. So the details would be the issue of sexual abuse and harassment. Look, not only in sport, it's almost everywhere. the stance of government of fighting gender-based violence. I don't even want to make examples, but I'll indicate to you, honorable member, women football or women in sports being coached by men, and in some instances there are things which have happened. We've got to protect the fairness at all material times. And here it's based on some of the cases which have suffered over a period of time. It's affected over a period of time. We know names and persons without mentioning here. But this is a serious problem for women in sport, and for women to thrive in sport, there has to be the playing field has to be level. I'll leave it at that, but it's based on experience. Take the point by Honorable Matimos. Except to say, Honorable Matimos, you need to take solace from what I said. When you talk of revising of the NAPCD, it won't be happening for the court. In law, in legal terms, something called principle aspect. So, the leader of government has capacity and power to go to the leader of parliament, the speaker of parliament, and see that the political we have deals we want to have. Actually, this is a deal labs whatever reason we want. So why is we waiting what they would come from? So it has that. And the most important thing is the concern we are raising them. We should be seeing, in fact, it's the same concern the Honorable Song was raising. We should be thinking of doing our work. Because it's well and good to attend the committee meetings and have departmental meetings, but at the end of the day, if nobody knows what you do, what have you done? You know, is there anything you have had to correct the imbalances of the past or what have you? It becomes a big issue. Honorable Perefaro, Lacuna, I think she explained that there is a gap, basically. There is no clarity. There is no determining fact. So it can be done either way. It can be misinterpreted and so on. And it applies here. I think you have it. Oh, yeah. Good. Because I deliberately read that the having said what you said, the very last sentence, however, talks to the lacuna. It talks to a situation where it's known that if it's at the end of the annual period, the end of the year, the bill lapses, then you go all the way as you said, back and so on. But if it coincided with the end of an administration, there's no clarity there, as it were. So what will depend on is what has happened in the past, because they'll have to get all that. What has happened in the past when the bills were revised and so on. No, I think the issue of you know, you are actually, you made something very serious here. You actually contradict Honorable Trump. No, Honorable Trump is really at the point where he thinks that SARS-CoV can't assist that way, you know. And you say Confederation was perfect. It's not perfect here, Honorable. We deal with the problems on a daily basis. We deal with challenges. Some of the examples which have been made, challenges where even SARS-CoV will come to us and say, no, we just can't deal with this matter. There are such instances. So there's no perfect way of things like that. But also, what the interesting thing is that I know you'd be the first one to ask if something happened. Somebody comes to South Africa, a sporting tournament or whatever, something happens, somebody gets injured or something. They are the first ones going to raise a question to Parliament, to the minister. Minister, can you explain how did this? And I will tell you, I don't know. You see? This minister doesn't know what is happening. We can't allow that again. We should. We have national interest. We come from a particular background. We are not in Canada. We're not in Australia. We're in a situation where even the Constitution talks about healing the wounds of the past. And the wounds of the past means that government cannot be indifferent on the inequalities which are there in our society, on the imbalances which are there. And our national interest is that we want to see development and more. You can't come to my area and we have nothing. You raise billions, we participate there, and you say, no, that area, that Khayelitsha must be to finish. They must see themselves. How are you connecting with those people? Because when you come to them, they are displaying your talent. But at the same time, we are educating these people. There are people who are going to want to be Federer tomorrow or Nadal. How are you going to say, no, we see you? I don't think that they must be hesitant things and so. All what you are saying is that there has to be that kettle that you are in the country. It's a sporting nation. There are administrators of sport, they must be informed. As I said, when you have 10 South Africans not benefiting out of a huge thing, or not being informed, or being left out of the loop, and people asking, hey, Minister, we want to go and see Federer and Nadal. No, I don't know those guys, they are coming, but I have no idea what's happening. It doesn't give anybody confidence of public administrators being offered with what is happening. I can say this to you. You see, also on the very same thing, actually what the presentation didn't touch, you mentioned badging actually. It's a wait, I'm not advised at the time. But there's another area of competitiveness, of those up and coming fitness centers who would not see the light of the day because of some, what do they call it? Monopoly. Yes, but also collusion and so on and so forth. It happens in different aspects. We can't put our arms and say nothing is happening there. You contradicted yourself a bit when you said no, but can you imagine the minister running Virgin Active? I don't want to run Virgin. I don't even know how to run Virgin Active. But you also saw the need. We've taken a stance in this country that will fight drug abuse and substance abuse. It doesn't matter whether it's Virgin or no Virgin. It doesn't matter. will have to get there wherever you are. We will have to get there wherever you are. But in South Africa, we cannot condone that. As you are making an input here, you did say that some of the international bodies said, no, turn a blind eye. We are not going to turn a blind eye. We are going to open our eyes very wide to ensure that nobody abuses drugs within the confines of the national borders of this country. So if they think that that's interference and they think of shutting down, so be it, because our country today has all these drugs which people are abusing, we will fight. And I don't mind to have those powers to fight that. But I can assure you, Honorable Member, there is no hidden agenda. We want things to happen according to people come here and they know it's not a banana. Things are happening according to what. Some of these international bodies can't go to the developed nations and say, no, turn a blind eye on this drug thing. They don't. They actually find drug abusers and doping even where that doesn't exist. So that's the issue there. The issue of the bodies and the interference, I thought as they were making the presentation, Honorable Garcia, they were going to explain that even before coming to Parliament the first time, we thoroughly consulted with the international bodies. You see, sometimes they are used as a hawk, a scarecrow. Yeah, no, international bodies, they will say this and so on. No, we can't want to do something which will harm us. Because if it harms South Africa, if it harms others, it's harming us, it will be us at their speaking end. We'll continue doing this, touching base with the international bodies, so that things are not done in the way which is not supposed. If you look, thanks to the chair with your input, if you look, really, these are not ministerial powers. I'm not going to be the one who's going to say, the national colors and so on and so forth. It's bodies. And these bodies, they are all over in the public sphere. What is important, and I think Honorable Mshongo raised this here, that there should be an emphasis on the appointment of these bodies, that we get capable people who are going to help this country, who are going to help the sport, the industry as a whole, to ensure that we indeed deal with pertinent issues facing people, which is going to take South Africa forward. And I think that what comes at a point where we really need to be very hands-on on matters affecting the life, especially in sport, because things are happening. You know, with WADA, I hope you have been following things. Look, the young men, disqualified. Now, with the testing of doping, you have to present yourself. And if you don't present yourself, a decision is taken, because it's like you are running away and so on and so forth. So there are many things. Some are gaps, and others are things which we must be. We have signed the protocol as part of WADA to say we are going to fight doping. And not only doping, but also safety. Because in the final analysis, a South African who would have been crippled because of being a participant in a particular fitness event will come back and haunt those who are governing the country and parliamentarians. But no, I was just giving this thing that you enter the premises at your own risk. No good people. Let's protect our people.
Thank you very much. Nothing much from me, but to agree with what the minister is saying, and just to emphasize the fact that as we wait
for the guidance on how to move forward from the legal system. The important thing is that we continue talking, because the important thing about this thing is the fact that it is about development. And unfortunately, development by its nature makes some people uncomfortable. We have to be uncomfortable. It has to happen. And unfortunately, the country itself is developing, and we have to be there and support people. So it's okay. So let's continue talking, and then we will unpack this thing once we understand exactly how to move forward from this aspect. And then we will be able to explain and be comfortable. People will understand that it is not even about the bill wanting the minister to interfere. It is about making sure that development happens to step with what is
honourable members, honourable minister, deputy minister, with your department, and the SNCC officials, let's take this opportunity to thank and the patience and constructive debate that we had today. We will keep in touch by instructed by this committee when time comes that we want you to come back after that. Tomorrow it's Wednesday. I'll sit down with the legal person from here in Parliament, and maybe by then they will be communicating as from this evening and morning of tomorrow. Of course, this thing is very urgent. I'm taking this opportunity to thank everybody, starting the 6th Parliament again in this quarter, hoping that we'll be vibrant as always and respecting each other when we are debating. Thank you so much. The meeting is not adjourned. We can release the minister, deputy minister, and the entire. Of course, we are going to look at our program just now, that you will be informed of it in your offices. I thank you.